There's snakes in the community.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I have a message. Save your generation.
You are now listening to Save Your Generation on your Beer Radio Network.
Insert informal introductory greeting. This is Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, it is February here, which means it is another Black History Month show. You're probably all out there burnt out on Black History, like, what is this guy doing this month? Like, this is, wow, what's going on? You're really doing Black History Month shows? But there's a reason. There's something that I'm trying, well, that I didn't know when I started that I was going to find out, but I've been finding out that everything really is connected, and all of it goes back to one thing. You probably already knew that, and you know how everything works, you know, but to actually see it unfolding, and I hope that you've been listening every week and learning new things about different people and different, you know, in a different perspective that you've probably never heard before, that I'd never heard before, so I can't expect to think that someone else had, unless you are just a brilliant researcher. And I know we have a lot of you out there, and that's why you're listening right now, because you're trying to find out more information, because you're just an information head like myself, just always wanting more. And this month I can't say I've learned so much about how this stuff works since finding out about 9/11, which is crazy to say, crazy to think that I could come full circle again, you know, and finding out stuff. But you'll just see tonight, I don't even want to give a big, like, intro. What are we going to talk about? It's crazy. What does this all have to do with everything? But there's a lot of stuff that you wouldn't even, you know, entertainment, politics, religion, everything is all intertwined and connected and run. It is a secret few. Someone is pulling strings, but really, the main thing, who's in charge? I know we're going to say people are in charge, but no. The one thing that talks most is the dollar. And that's how all these things really happen. You say it's people in power, but it's the people with the most money. Whoever has the most money calls the shots, runs the game. And that's why corporations can do whatever they want to do. And that's because who's making the money, who's giving the money, you know this game. You know all about it. But tonight you're going to see a side of it that you might not have known. And that's why I think it's important to study Black history and how it relates. You know, we learn history and it is just white history, the things that you know. Because, I mean, no one's going to teach in a history book what happened to Biggie and Tupac, are they? Of course not. You would have to look for that on your own. And you're like, Biggie and Tupac, that's connected to the New World Order? It certainly is, and it's shocking. It's unbelievable. It's the same as it's tied into Malcolm X, it's tied into all of it. Or they're trying to make it look like it's tied into all of it. So either they're trying to make it look like it is, or it is. Either way, it's undeniable, the similarities. And we're going to discuss all that tonight. That's right, Biggie, Tupac, Malcolm X, it's all connected. I had no idea, just reading more and more about all the different people and all the different, and you know, you watch this video footage and the people are saying some interesting things, so I'll play some clips of that. But alright, where should we just even start with some clips right now? Because there's a whole nother spectrum of it that, you know, this whole Black consciousness that arose in the 60s, that wasn't something new. That was something that was established about 40 years earlier by a man named Marcus Garvey. I briefly mentioned him in the last show, played a song by Piebald. Marcus Garvey dies and Marcus Garvey lives. And that's how martyrs work, you know. You know that they kill them all, but what was important, I decided to go back and start looking through Marcus Garvey's stuff and just reading up about him and looking through it. And again, it's always in this video that you can find something. And if you're paying close attention, you'll hear it. But if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it and it's going to be pointless. But you catch it. And every time, I always seem to catch it. And I caught it again. And it's just incredible about Marcus Garvey. And then you say, wow, if this is what happened, you know, how Marcus Garvey came into this, then what does that say for the whole civil rights, black rights movement as a whole, and still to this day, its foundation, how it was founded? Well, maybe I'll just play the clip for you right now, and we'll just go right into it. I think I will. Oh, thanks for tuning in again. It's the February 28th edition of Save Your Generation, shortest month. Just a coincidence that Black History Month is in the shortest month. There aren't 11 other months, right? No, it just happens to be in the shortest one. And you know, this month even has other holidays in it. I'm sure, you know, I should have researched that out and seen if there was a month that didn't have any other holidays. But I'm sure they try to spread at least one out through each. But there was other holidays this month. Valentine's Day, which I didn't even... Usually I do a show for every single holiday, but I was so enthralled with finding out all this stuff about black people that I just kept going on with this, and it's led us here to this whole full circle, everything.
Do you want me to sum up Valentine's Day?
Do you know what Valentine's Day is? Because I mean, I didn't look it up at all.
In history right now, it's one word, Hallmark.
So Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day is created by...
Just almost a waste of a show.
All right, so good. Well, I'm glad I didn't do it then, because it would have been a waste. But February 28th, 2007, Save Your Generation. Here's an interesting clip about Marcus Garvey.
Volatile and secretive, yet charismatic and visionary, Marcus Garvey changed forever the way black Americans looked at themselves and the world.
He started something that became bigger than Garvey himself. He, more than any other figure in the 20th century, symbolizes the turning of the perception of black people into something positive.
All right, what that guy should have said right there was that Marcus Garvey is credited as being the one who brought being black as something positive or something, however he phrased it. Because really, truthfully, there were many people, if you ever heard that one Chris Rock sketch saying that, you know, they would kill the smart slaves or the slaves that they thought were smart so that all black people would just be real big, strong, big dumb oxes, so they'd be good workhorses, which is why the NFL and the NBA and the whatever, it's real funny. Maybe I'll play that joke tonight, because it is funny what he says. But what the truth of the matter was is that, yeah, the people who were smart, or the people who they thought were smart, they would try to exterminate all of them, but the few smart ones did understand and knew exactly what was going on. They knew that they had been taken from their home country. They didn't know it was called Africa or anything like that, because they didn't refer to it by these quote white man terms. They didn't come up with that. They called it whatever their native country was, and they wanted to go back there. But Marcus Garvey is being credited as saying, you know, he's the first one to have this great idea to go back to Africa because he's so smart and intelligent and able to understand that they've come from this other place and they're here wrongfully. And so everyone looks up to Marcus Garvey as being the founder of that. But when you look really, well, the first thing that they said in that clip really piqued my interest. They said that he was volatile and secretive. I was like, he's a very secretive person. So I kept that in the back of my mind. And then if you research about Marcus Garvey, you hear that he was a very secretive person and this and, you know, but why is that interesting? You got to take it in the context of what comes next.
Garvey's father was a mason, a professional mason. And among the things that he did was to create tombs for people in the St. Anne's Bay graveyard. He took Garvey with him to the graveyard one day, and they were digging this grave, and his father had Garvey go down inside the grave, but then he pulled the ladder up and left the child in the bottom of the grave. Garvey said that he cried out and his father wouldn't let him get back up out of the grave. He wanted to teach him a lesson.
Alone in the grave, young Marcus Garvey learned that he could rely on no one but himself. It was a lesson he would carry for the rest of his life.
Alright, now am I looking too deeply into this, or do you see exactly what I'm gonna say? His father, it said in the very beginning, was a professional Mason, so that means that he probably, more than likely, was also a Freemason who was introduced or put into some type of secret society. And what he did with his son is no doubt one of the initiation rituals that the secret societies use, the Skull and Bones uses, and probably any type of secret society Freemasonry. They put you in a tomb and you stay in there. This is obvious. So what they just told right there was that Marcus Garvey, his father, was a Freemason, and then he inducted Marcus Garvey into this ritual, so then therefore, and that would explain his secrecy, that he was a very secretive person, because he was this secret Mason guy. I don't think I'm too far reaching here, and I think that if you look into this, then you would see, too, the implication. But why is it important that he is? Well, because you know how the Freemasons have their good and bad, or as above, so below is the motto, I guess you'd say it is, but they do good things and bad things to balance each other. So their good would be to start this awareness for black people. So they would get this, Marcus Garvey was chosen, or his father was chosen through it to do this, you know? Or Marcus Garvey, that has nothing to do with it, and Marcus just did it on his own. Or you can go from that school of thought. Or you could put together all of it and see the bigger picture. But I think that the reason they would do this, really, is to help set up, the same way that they funded the hippie movement and everything else, is to have that, you know, problem, reaction, solution. They need a foe, get it, to combat. So they create something. So they create the hippie movement, and they created the, you know, Marcus Garvey created the black awareness. So that created, that set the tone, so to speak, for what would happen in the 1960s. Without Marcus Garvey, I'm sure that probably would have happened, because there were, people knew what was going on and what had happened. So it was only a matter of time, but you see the way that they instigate things and the way that they forced things to happen, because it plays into their plan. And in one of those clips before, a couple shows back, about Malcolm X, he was talking to someone on the news, and they said, well, how do you think that we can stop these uprisings? Do you think we need martial law? And you know that that's their number one goal, and that's why they're bringing everything. And I think that maybe even the movement, truth movement now, is so that they can bring in martial law. So they let us have this movement, just like they've let everything else be done throughout the history of the world. So that's just something to consider, and that's something to put together, something for you to think on. But we are going to get more into this after this song, because we haven't played a song yet, and I like to play songs a lot. And I haven't played really any songs at all, because I've been too busy reading about, watching Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and every black person who has been in America, basically. Because I want to find out why there is a black history. You don't wonder why there's Black History Month? I do. Because, it doesn't seem like they have any profit from it. And every other one, like Christmas, you get people to go buy stuff. Valentine's Day, you get people to go buy stuff. President's Day, did you see all those President's Day commercials? I heard, speaking of President, that I heard like a President's Day commercial that had a hip hop song, but it was like hip hop mixed with like, hey, dun, 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 like a hip hop hail to the whatever that song, I don't know. I'm just a bad American, I guess. I don't know what that song's called. But that President song, because it was a President's Day, but it was like a hip-hop version. So that, I think, ties in, I guess maybe it was Black History and President's Day, because they were doing hip-hop, so they're like, yeah, we're going to kill two birds with one stone. Do like black music, son, and President's Day. Boom. Buy a car, son, and get rims. They spinning, nigga, they spinning. get them rims spinning, niggas. So, I don't know. Did you see that commercial? Because I did, but okay. Let's go to that song right now. This Black History Month, it's the last day, February 28th. This is Save Your Generation, and we're going to listen to black music all night.
So much things to say right now. They got so much things to say.
Hey, but I'll never forget, no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, no way. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice. Ooh, I'll never forget, no way. They turned their back on Paul Bogey. Hey, hey. So don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got
Good to hear Mr. Bob Marley. They got too much to say, but I'm not trying to hear it. You know what I'm saying? But reggae, started by poor black people in the Jamaican slums, and a beautiful music. I think that's the only way to make beautiful music, heartfelt, great music, is when you feel lots and lots of pain, when you feel inner pain, and you look at any type of great music, and it comes from something. You know, you look at the music now that comes on. I don't think Justin Timberlake is feeling any pain. I mean, that's why the music is so bland and has no soul in it. All of that type of just generic pop music. But you listen to something like reggae, or you listen to good hip-hop, something with real soul and real feeling, or even soul music, as they call, or the blues, or, you know, I bet the best music ever made is music that was never recorded, and it was made by slaves in the fields singing. I guarantee that was some of the best, most true, real, heartfelt, like those people singing, I bet it was unreal because of the pain that they were suffering through. And that's the only way that you can make real music. But all right, enough about the music for now. We will be playing more black, you can't really call it African as people would want to call it, because, you know, if a person, you think about people who live in Jamaica, right? People say that the black people in Jamaica are Africans, and you say that you go 150, 200 miles and to what we call the United States, those black people are two Africans, those people are Africans, but those people, that culture in Jamaica and the culture in the people in the United States have nothing in common whatsoever. They have no connection. Someone 3,000 miles away in the same place in, say, the United States will have more in common with these black people than you would with the black person who's closer to you, just there on a, you know, a little piece of island somewhere. It's fascinating to think about. I mean, I'd say that Europeans in, you know, anywhere, Germany, France, UK, those white people would have as much in common as the white people here in the United States, I would say. You know, therefore, I mean, like a similarity of lifestyle, perhaps, I should say. But not with, you'd say, Jamaica or any other kind. Isn't that... I should have looked into the demographics of that. Maybe I'll save that for next year. Next year I want to talk about women as well in Black History. But will I even be doing a Black History show ever again? That's something that I'll save for later tonight, because this night has opened my eyes, as they say. And I'm really starting to see something about Black History Month. I'm starting to see the true purpose of it. And maybe you see it too. But I want to talk about Freemasons just for a second. I know that a billion and a million drillion shows about Freemasonry could be done, but it's not really, I mean, I know you all have family out there. My grandfather's a Freemason. He has that little thing on his car. I see it riding around. You want to just tell them, like, hey, do you know what's really, I mean, maybe you have told your people, hopefully your family that you have that are Freemasons, you tell them, like, what the people in the upper echelons, what the symbolism and everything really means. You know, I haven't really reached out yet to try to do that, but maybe I will in the future. You know, it's something that needs to be done to everyone in your family, about everything. And I think it's easier to do it to other people who are like-minded. It's easier to do it to your friend who won't judge you. It's easier to speak out to people. All right, I'm just getting off on a tangent and doing one of those. But Freemasons, I started watching that movie again the other night after I put together the Marcus Garvey, his, you know, Freemasonry thing, and I was like, wow, I need to really start looking into Freemasons again, because they're just coming up in every single thing. Everything is coming back to this. Like, why? Everything, even in Black history, I guess, is run by Freemasons, and I thought it was just, you know, like a white people club, but apparently they do, just on the DL, they help and do things for black people. But they don't actually, you know, because they need help and they recognize it. But, I'm just going to play this clip because it was something. Again, all these shockers that make you really want to research and do reading more and more all the time, but you just don't have all the time in the world, so you can't. But here's something else you should want to be interested in.
1446, William St. Clair began building Roslyn Chapel in Roslyn, a village south of Edinburgh, which eventually became a Royal Masonic Lodge. It was actually the headquarters of the Knights Templar, also called the Temple of Yahweh.
Alright, that's a clip from The Lightbringers, The History of the Freemasons by Jury Lean. I can't pronounce that name, I'm not that intelligent, but it's a great, you've probably seen it. I have it linked at tiredofbeingalive.com. It's on Google Video. Just type in Lightbringers. But it's incredible because it gives a whole history of the Freemasons, but that's something that I had never caught before, that the Knights Templar was, used to be called, it was formerly called the Temple of Yahweh. Now that to me is mind blowing. Now, because I found out about, you know, that being removed from the Bible, and that is the true name that was written, the Tetragrammaton, the four Hebrew letters that was removed from the Bible and now replaced with Lord in all Bibles, and people think that Lord is the true name of God. That's how people are that intelligent. But I can't. So what does that say? I mean, I haven't had time to really look into that, but if that's true, then the Freemasons either truly do worship the true God and they worship Yahweh, or they were just using that to try to infiltrate or to try to, you know, I don't know. It's totally thrown a whole monkey wrench into everything that I thought I knew about Freemasons. So if someone has more information about that, pass that along. Please do, over at revereradio.net, sign up for the message boards, post something, send a message to SYG, that's Save Your Generation, because I want to know more about the Freemasons and Knights Templar and their belief in Yahweh. If that's, you know, from what I understood, or maybe, you know, it's the way that they infiltrate now, but back then it wasn't an issue with, all right, we need to not tell people the real name and keep it to ourselves, or it's, I don't know. Okay, well, let's, what else did I want to talk about? Biggie and Tupac, and also Big L, and, you know, you probably don't even know who Big L is out there listening, or maybe you do, but he is another rapper, a black man murdered, and why? And they don't, you know, no one knows who killed him. And these are artists, if you were paying attention in the last segment there, I was playing some Big L in the background, but I don't know, how can these people be murdered and no one knows who killed them, who truly killed them? Because, I mean, you can say all you want that Oswald killed Kennedy, but I know for a fact that dude did not kill the president. So, you know, how do these people die and we don't know? Isn't that supposed to be, you know, a big crime? Yet people who do lesser crimes, like maybe somebody had a bag of herb, they certainly go to prison. So why? How do these people die and no one really, even if you think about Kurt Cobain, there's so many funny things around that issue. Like, how can these famous people be killed but no one really know truly who killed them? How can you have 3,000 people be killed on September 11, 2001 and no one really know what happened that day? It's, well, you can say that the same organization, the same people are making this confusion happen. The whole world will be deceived by the beast and those who worship the mark of the beast. I said earlier that it really only comes down to money, and that's what it's about. It's about money. The money talks. And people who worship that money will do anything and let anything happen for money, because they worship that mark. But before we even get into all of that, let's go to another song right now. This is Save Your Generation. I haven't played enough songs during the Black History Month, and there's so much black music. Like, people think of black music, they only really only think of hip-hop. But, you know, there's reggae, there's all, you can name any type of music, and it was created by black people. Even something like rock and roll. People think Elvis created rock and roll. No, Elvis didn't create rock and roll. Black people created rock and roll a long time ago. I mean, probably every single riff that you hear to this day is something that was done by Robert Johnson. And people steal from old blues people like that, and that's what, at least artists like, what's that guy's name? Eric Clapton will at least admit that he's ripping him off, and he'll give him some money, like his family, his known. He has actually a bunch of kids, I found out, Robert Johnson, and they don't see any money, and every single person covers his songs, people from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Eric Clapton to everyone, and they all just get rich off his stuff, and his kids are just some poor black people somewhere trying not to die. Alright, let's listen to some music that's hopefully uplifting, because I don't want to make this a downer show. Dude, Black History Month is not, see, I think that that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about feeling sorry for them and for slavery and everything. It's supposed to look at the accomplishments and the good, happy things. So that's what we're going to talk about. I don't know. I really can't understand Black History Month, and that's really what I'm looking for here by doing all these shows, to try to get a better grasp on to why why this is a real holiday celebration or whatever that the United States has made. I don't get it, but we're trying to find out. It's not a holiday, but it's something. It's an entire month. I mean, so it can't be a holiday. It's certainly not a day. I mean, it's a holla month or something. I don't know.
It ain't as bad. You know, racism's still out there, but ain't as bad as it was like motherfucking 30 years ago. We've come a long motherfucking way. The white people don't even be calling black people nigga no more, especially when there's niggas around, so I guess I wouldn't know.
We can't get careless. You say, what is this?
Yeah.
I love it. Let's get Storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. And I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
The story of Biggie and Tupac is the story of two great friends who had a misunderstanding, a falling out, and became deadly enemies. Their murders were explained as being the result of the rivalry that had grown up between them. This is Biggie. Biggie and Tupac always used to hang out together. Biggie's last album sold over 10 million copies. This is Tupac. He made $80 million in sales in just 1 year. It was the occasion of Puffy's birthday in 1994. And if you look really closely, you'll see the rarest of footage of Biggie and Tupac hugging on the edge of stage. Biggie and Tupac were street buddies. Biggie called Tupac Duke. Tupac called Biggie Christopher.
And I got 357 ways. Still a saute, I'm up under all day. Like skip Timothy, I'm Biggie's whole way. My 4K causes cold A's on the train.
Biggie used to open for Tupac. But the friendship changed. There were accusations of treachery and betrayal. Tupac accused Biggie of trying to have him killed. Tupac claimed to be having an affair with Biggie's wife. Their murders were explained as being the result of a feud that had grown up between them. But it was this explanation that got us interested.
Tonight's shocking allegations against the city's top cop. Former Detective Russell Poole has filed suit against the department. Poole says he uncovered dirty cops while investigating the murders of rappers Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur.
I provided the chief with enough information and evidence that would warrant a full probe. And at that meeting, I was ordered not to investigate any further.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Save Your Generation. Clip you just heard is from an absolutely brilliant movie called Biggie and Tupac that I strongly suggest that you go out and try to obtain, or you can find it on torrents, things like that, if you know what that means or how to do that. The music you just heard, you know that was Public Enemy, but that was Robert Johnson, Hellhound on My Trail. I think we've all got one. that music, you can hear the pain in his voice. And like I said, the best music, well, to me, some people, take my brother, for example, he only listens to like party music, music that's going to make you feel good and have a good time. Cause that's, there are the type of people who I guess, cause all I feel is pain. That's the kind of music that I can relate to, is pain and just sorrow and music like that. But you know, at the same time, you know, even music that sounds happy, you can appreciate. But I think the best music is music like that. And that's why the blues is such great music, and any music, even hip-hop, anything that really has feeling and emotion. But enough about that music. Let's talk about the people who create the music and the people that are giving us this. I truly think that it's inspired. Things are inspired one way or another. They're inspired by something, so everything's inspired, I'd say. But this inspired music coming from these people, it's, you know, making them a lot of money, but why? Like, I'm just wondering why hip-hop they decide to give so much attention to. Like, there are different types and forms of music that people create, but hip-hop, for some reason, is one that got worldwide attention everywhere. There isn't a sector on the you know, you can say that just about for about any type of music, but you know, you gotta think about the culture and things that come with hip-hop and how widespread it is. Say the punk culture is somewhat that, but it's not as big as hip-hop is. Nothing. I would say hip-hop is the biggest. You have people who don't speak English all over the world. I've heard rap albums in every language you can imagine, from French to German to Uzbekistanian. I mean, there's anything. Name a language and there's a hip-hop album in it. But those other cultures don't really care too much about other. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's great metal, hardcore, punk rock bands out there in Iraq right now, and they're called We Rock instead. Get it? I rock, we rock now. Okay. Bad joke. Bad situation. But we're talking about black history, and we're going to talk about an even worse situation. Something really strange. That two people who were the biggest musicians of the time in this global music we call hip-hop, and they were murdered. And we still, to this day, don't know who killed them. Now, how is that possible? I thought we had really advanced technology that we could track people, or we certainly have enough cameras nowadays that would have been definitely caught on tape. But something that happened, well, in the Tupac incident, a few minutes before he was murdered. See, all this stuff, if you don't know this, I didn't know any of this, but you watch a movie and you learn so much, and then you can go look it up and go find out even more from that. You go find out the parts that he wasn't telling you and the parts that you could find out on your own. But in this case, I think, instead of going into a big explanation about the murders, I'm just going to tell you the one part that I think was the most interesting, and let you go out and watch it for yourself and find out about it and see how and why this happened. Well, I'll tell you how and why this happened, because the reason that hip-hop is so internationally famous, I don't know what word, why it's such an international hit, is because it is the most powerful form of music. I don't know how or why. It's something in the way that the music and the lyrics and everything go together, and they could see that. So instead of letting it grow into something that could be used as a weapon towards them, what people still do to this day, people like Immortal Technique use it as that weapon, and that is powerful. I remember when I first heard Immortal Technique, the feeling that it gave me, knowing that, you know, there were songs about the things that, you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Can you relate to me on that level? For the same reason that I like music about pain, you're hearing other people speaking about pain, and you hear other people speaking about this truth, you want, you know, it's something very inspirational. And I hope I'm not sounding too fruity right now, but I think you know what I'm hitting at. But let me just play this one clip from this Biggie and Tupac. Watch this movie and see how it factors into everything, because Well, you'll see.
I had him to a T before P called me that morning. He said, a guy in the Nation of Islam shot Big. And I said, yo, dog, he had the blue suit, blue bow tie, white shirt, peanut head, receding hairline, brown skin. He was like, yeah, dog, how you know? I said, a nigga came up to me first. I said, he came to us first. He walked up the Puff van. And I got him off. And he was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, yeah, straight up, for real. He came up there first.
It's amazing the police never showed you that still picture before.
Can't recall him. Nope.
They never showed it to you before.
They showed me a lot of other shit. You know what I'm saying?
But they absolutely never showed you that picture.
I can't recall them showing me that picture.
All right, now. All right, so let me just break down that black talk for you, for people out there who can't understand it. I know a lot of people, sometimes it is very difficult. I mean, I admit, even myself sometimes, and I think I'm pretty hip, you know what I mean? I get lost in it sometimes, and I say, what did you just say? Like, I don't understand the connotation, but really, and that's something else I should be talking about on Black History Month, because you have to admit now, it is undoubtedly that black people have created another language inside of the English language, because what they speak is not English. I mean, and not trying to be racist at all, because it's not, it's just a fact. And I don't call it Ebonics or whatever, because how are you going to have a white man's word for a black language? I mean, if you're saying it is a different language, you're not the one that gets to classify it. You don't get to name it. Why do you get to pick the name? Because I've never heard a black person say, yeah, that's Ebonics, you know? So think about that. But it's definitely a completely different language outside of English. I mean, it's you could not go to any type of schooling and write that and say that this is, you know, you would get F's, because it's not a true language. It's a language outside of a language, inside of a language. It's incredible. But what he said, simply, was that a guy dressed like he was, I can't say that he's from the Nation of Islam, because no one's tracked this guy down and found who he was, or apparently this guy had a bunch of pictures. What was happening, go see the movie, he had some pictures of people who they had as rumored suspects of who could have killed Biggie, since they didn't have anyone, and apparently the picture of who the guy was this nation guy from the Nation of Islam, and that's confirmed. But it's confirmed that it's the same guy that he saw that night that is that picture. But I'm not going to say that he's in the Nation of Islam, because the guys who shot Malcolm X, if you heard, listened to the shows a couple, maybe last week, I don't remember, these time is so relative. I really don't. Time is what they use to try to control you. They tell you to be here at a certain time. People only want to make you get a time when they want to control you. So I don't like to live my life like that. So I don't know when that show was. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But about Malcolm X and how someone from the Nation of Islam had killed him. And now why is this Nation of Islam coming up again as being a suspect for murdering someone? Now, is the Nation of Islam really this murderous sect, this clan of murderers? Or, as like Malcolm X said, he said that, I don't know why Muslims are being associated with violence all the time. It seems like a propaganda campaign for you wanting to always make Muslims and the Nation of Islam be with violence. So, was he right? I mean, if you see even now today, you heard George Bush say something to the effect of, I don't think that Muslims could understand the joy of Hanukkah. Yes, because Muslims only, that's the propaganda campaign now in today's modern world for Muslims, is that they're all terrorists and murderers. But still, pre-9/11, it was that same Nation of Islam propaganda. Or, you know, I don't know what to think. Someone else, I hope, is keeping tabs and paying attention and seeing how this all connects, because it's all connected. We have entered the blanket. and everything is all connected. And why is this happening in these strange patterns? And that's what I want you all to think about for yourselves during these next 11 months until February again next year, and hopefully you'll have a whole new world of insight to what the New World Order is, because this 28 days, not even, that I've been researching this has given me a whole new level of insight and things that I never had considered, things that I never, you know, it's that paradigm shift again, and it's starting to happen again, and you think that you've already peeled back each layer and so many things, but then you start to really see the bigger picture and the broader scope of absolutely everything, and you see how many ways that they have their control on you, and they control you at every level. Let's listen to another song. This is Save Your Generation, a broadcast that you can hear on Wednesday nights, says the pagan calendar, at 7 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. ReverRadio.net. If you enjoy this broadcast, please head over to ReverRadio.net and give a donation.
Revere Radio Network, Tampa, the worldwide home of free speech.
A guy in the Nation of Islam shot big.
Yes indeed. Yes, indeed, it's the Mix King, Ron G. I got something the world ain't ready for. New York City, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, D.C., Detroit, New Orleans. Y'all know the deal. Flavor!
Yeah, nigga. I think niggas is trying to kill me, picturing pistols, spitting hollow points till they drill me, keeping it real, and even if I do conceal my criminal thoughts, preoccupied with keeping steel, see niggas is false, sitting in court, turn snitches, they used to be real, but now they petrified bitches, I'm trying to be strong, they sending armies out to bomb me, listen to Ron, the only DJ that can call me, constantly armed, my firepower keep me warm, I'm trapping the storm, and fuck the world till I'm gone, bitches be warned, word is born, you'll get torn, I'm busting on Giuliani, rubbing my niggas wrong, and in this song, before I leave, picture me, I'm spitting that punk, bitches and hustling to be free, watch me set it, niggas don't want it, you can get it, bet it, make these jealous niggas mad, I said it, this thug life, nigga, we don't cater to you hoes, fuck with me, have 100 motherfuckers at your door, with four foes,
yeah, nigga, thug life,
I'm hard, Jehovah said I'm barred from the pearly gates, fuck em, I didn't want to go to heaven anyway, but my mama got me on my knees with my hands gripped, talking about some praise the Lord shit, Hail Mary fucker, I never knew her, I probably screw her, and dump her body in the sewer, our father, my pop stuck up dope spots, big black and mean with the fist by the gabardine, what you expected from his next to kin, I'm loco bro, but ain't no Mexican, I got knives in the bedroom, Glocks in the kitchen, a shotty by the shower if you wanna shoot me while I'm shitting. The lesson from the Smith & Wesson is depressing niggas keep stressing. The same motherfucking question. How many shots does it take to make my heart stop and my body start to shake? Ron G, stop.
I be that young, fruity, fly, smooth, glorious kid. A bad boy just like Notorious Big. A Rockefeller like Sean Carter. We more game than Ron Harper. The bomb sparker, rapper slash Don Robber. While y'all be on the corners bumming and high, I be out buying the finest shit money can buy. You wish you was in the position that I'm in. Hot rhyming, diamond shining. Autograph signing, my lifestyle is far out. Every week bring a different car out. I go to nightclubs and ride a bar out. Cause I keep cream. I'm large on the street scene. Every time I touch mics, you hear all the freaks scream. Yeah, yeah, Big L, Harlem's finest. Yeah, the nigga who hold it down for uptown.
It's how we do it out here on this underground real shit, nigga. It's the heat, nigga. Now rewind this motherfucker. You know you can't help it. Deadly combination, why?
You got to stop BSing with this. New school, you got to stop BSing with this. Cause you don't know that you're all are being controlled by corporations. Where's your hip hop museum? Where's your hip hop doctors? Where's your hip hop judges? Hip hop lawyers? Where's our hip hop agriculturalists? our hip-hop army. We better have some hip-hop police to police our hip-hop self if we're going to do all this killing.
Alright, you're still listening to Save Your Generation, representing the real. That first song you just heard was Deadly Combination, and it truly was three rappers all dead, Big L, Tupac, and Biggie, all in the same track, representing, but all dead. And you need to, somebody needs to start doing something, but why was that murdering taking place? And I have my own theory, which I am debating whether to go into. I was just gonna play music, really, for the rest of the night, but I guess I'll share it with you right now. I think that they made it seem like they were killing each other in order to start some massive gang war. And this is documented, that after those murders took place, you know, Tupac blame Biggie. Biggie was trying to just say that he wasn't into it, that he didn't do anything, because and I believe that, because if you look into who Biggie Smalls was, he was not a real gangster. He wasn't, you know, he was a kid who liked poetry, probably knew that he could write good poetry. That's all hip-hop and rap is. It's just really great poetry. Duh. And he was a great poet. He was a brilliant poet, and he knew what he needed to say and what he needed to do to be glamorized on TV, and what was, quote, what sells, what the money wanted. He wanted the money, and he knew what would get him the money. But it also got him killed, and that's how it always goes, really. You know, the one thing that you think you're striving for and what you want is really, in the end, what kills you. But, so they wanted to make this massive East versus West gang war happen, and it did. You didn't hear about the other casualties of this. There were hundreds, probably maybe even more than hundreds, of gang members. I know people are going to say that they're gang members, who cares that they're killing each other, but you know, these gangs only exist because of the misdirected hostility and the misplaced and displaced tension that is going on in poverty. Anytime you have an extreme situation of poverty, people are going to want to band together in some type of units in order to try to get them better their lives, and that's what it's all for. They go rob and steal and do stuff, not because they think it's cool and fun. I mean, at a certain point it becomes that, but it's because they're in extreme poverty. So these gang members are all killing each other because they're thinking that they have this big East and West Coast rivalry, but really it was created. And if you watch that movie, it really documents it and says that, you know, Tupac, while he was in prison, okay, is getting people that he doesn't know coming up to him saying, oh, you didn't know, this is after he was shot the first time he lived. People were walking up to him saying, oh, you didn't know that Biggie's the one that got you shot? Oh, yeah, that's who it was. Now, these are not confirmed sources. This is just people saying this. And you know that that's how COINTELPRO and the CIA, the FBI, use their divide and conquer strategies. This is what they do. So they were planting these people there. Now, I don't have any confirmed sources telling me that, but you can just, come on, learn from your history here. I mean, history repeats, and that's how they do it. There are snakes in the community. There are snakes. And there's snakes in this community, and we have to be able to find out who they are. And even if you know who they are, it doesn't mean that you're right. If you think you know, but you got no idea. Could be anybody. And I guess I'm just not a very trusting person. But I just know history, and I see that the way that they work and the way that they operate. And I don't believe that Biggie or Tupac had a hand in either one of their murders, but I'd say that the people behind Biggie and Tupac more than likely did. Because the same way that the people behind Malcolm X were involved in his, because the people who work with the government in order to get this common goal that they both want are the ones who will benefit from it in the end. And even, now, I don't think that the government was involved in this one. I think this was purely the money, even though it always comes down to the money. But I think this was purely the money in this case. If you look into the details of Kurt Cobain's supposed suicide, again, it's the same thing. Money talks, and if you have enough money, you can kill people and get away with it, and no one will say a thing. Because you had enough money to pay the right people to keep their mouth shut, and you can murder anyone. 9/11, they had a lot of money to pay everyone they, and they're still paying them to this day, to say that, oh no, we just had the wrong time, or we can't find the footage, or whatever is happening with the BBC right now. That to me is asinine. It seems like something that has to be a joke. Or it has to be a purposeful... I mean, that's huge. To see that lady there speaking and the building's not down, that's... Is she just really clairvoyant? She knows her perception of everything. She could see it happening before it happened. No, what is going on? It's a joke, but... Alright, then after that you heard Bad Brains, but I just wanted to play a lot of music tonight because there's a wide range. I mean... Punk rock, Bad Brains, hardcore music, whatever you want to call it, yeah, it's credited as being started by, you know, some snotty UK punk kids, but if that is true, then the Bad Brains definitely perfected that, then. They definitely took that to a whole new level, and that's what people are trying to still, to this day, rip off. Like, no one, there are a couple people who still try to go for the whole Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten thing, but really, all the kids, all that truly aggressive, like, insane, that was all the Bad Brains. They took it to that next level. That's why they're my favorite band ever. You gotta just listen to the real nitty gritty. No, I don't know what that means. Let's just listen to more stuff.
Hey, have a good summer. Have a good summer, biatch!
Tupac became obsessed with the idea that Biggie had tried to kill him.
While I'm in jail, strangers is telling me. Yo, you don't know? Biggie homeboy shot you. Cause they bragging, they telling they niggas in jail. Yo, we just got popped. And that's why what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. I'm destroying them. I'm destroying them.
Biggie remained cool.
I was more in a mind frame of keep your mouth shut, Big. You know what I'm saying? Just don't feed into it. If you feed into it, it's gonna do nothing but escalate. You know what I'm saying? I knew it wasn't true. Well, at least what I knew I was getting blamed for wasn't true. I can't speak for nothing else. You know, I wasn't there. But I know what he was blaming me for wasn't true. So it don't make no sense me sitting there trying to make records or hit magazines and TVs screaming how it ain't true. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't true, I just gotta ig it.
Another theory about the Tupac-Biggie war is that the strangers Tupac referred to in jail, telling him Biggie's homeboys had shot him, were in fact working for the FBI, who had a policy to cause dissension within the hip-hop movement. The FBI were worried by the subversive qualities of hip-hop. They saw a definite connection with the Black Panthers. In fact, hip-hop first started around the same time as the Black Panthers. The Watts Prophets, the first hip-hop artists, developed as a political reaction to the Watts riots. Tupac's mother, Afeni, seen here, was a Black Panther, and so were many friends and family members. Dan Quayle, the vice president, criticized Time Warner for releasing Tupac's records, as well as Ice-T's Cop Killer.
I might just say one other thing that is in the category of family values, and that is... This latest rap record cop killer. Now here you have a responsible corporation, Time Warner, putting out and distributing a record and making money off a record that says it's okay to kill cops. I find that outrageous. The lyrics are outrageous. Lyrics like die, 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 pig, die. And yet you have a corporation that defends putting out this record because it is constitutional.
Cop killer!
The first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Revere Radio. There was a explanation for why our housing was bad, our education was poor, our political power was limited, and that explanation was that we were held as colonial subjects within the United States. It's not a perfect explanation. It's an analogy to situations in Africa and in Asia that we could see that fit us. Therefore, colonialism had been denounced by the United Nations, and people were entitled to their independence, and they were justified in breaking out of that type of control. That was the basic American history.
Police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive the due process of law for the simple reason that the police themselves deny us the due process of law. And so it's very apparent that the police only in our community, not for our security, but the security of the business owners in the community, and also to see that the status quo is kept intact.
Do not adjust your mind. The funky alien is coming at you one more time. This is Time Zone, y'all, from the Big Dick. That Middleweight Mothership Connection, and I'm ready to flip. Blow! Earth people, you have violated every intergalactic code. The funky alien was summoned here to get all you Earth people correct. Red, black, brown, white people of all races, of all religions, of all creeds. You have violated the codes of the planet Earth. You have slaughtered innocent women and children in the name of your man-made religions. This is not peace and unity. This is nothing but destruction, degradation. Why does the Illuminati with transponders in your body? Why do they want to take your children away and herd all of you together as sheep, as Adolf Hitler did the Jews? Why are they using germ and chemical warfare to destroy all the humans on this planet? I will tell you why, coming from the funky alien. It's called mind control. Why do they constantly use electronic low frequency waves to control your thinking? Why do FRID, radio frequency identification, are they leading you to their education? Why is Washington D.C. designed in a form of a devil's pentagram? I will tell you why. Why? Because they set a percentage of the robotoid aliens on this planet from the far side of the Orion galaxy plans on taking over your planet. They've conditioned you to aliens. That's why they show you movies like Star Trek, Alien Invasion. They came for what? They came for your mind.
Warlocks and witches coming through the chips, microchips and you. Warlocks and witches, computer chips, microchips, and you. Warlocks and witches, computer chips, microchips, and you. Warlocks and witches, computer chips, microchips, and you.
The Illuminati started May 1st, 1776. Look on the back of your money. While it's lasting here, they're setting you up for a cashless society. That's why you think they're gonna put the barcodes on your brains and hands? You already have it. Look on the back of your driver's license. Look on the back of your medical identification. Look on the back of your ID card. You see it all, you foolish humans. Wake up and smell the bacon and see that it's worms. They want to violate the funk. They're having all you rappers on the planet Earth talk about bullshit. Why? Because you're leading the people to bullshit. Why? Because you are bullshit. You need to wake up. You are nothing but robotoids. You look at Waco, Texas. Why did the robotoids come down on Waco, Texas? Ask yourself, humans, what did they do that the NSA had to come in and slaughter innocent women and children? Ask them why did they drop the chemicals in India? Ask them why did Rwanda go down? I will tell you why. The funky alien has came to your planet to tell you why. Why is for control of your mind. Why is the UN going to police the whole world in the year 1998?
Why? I will tell you why. Your planet has been cut into 10 divisions. 10 divisions, the UN shall police the world. Why they have not told you about the Bohemian Society? Why they didn't tell you about the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderberg Group in the Empire State? Look at the movie The Last Crusade of Indiana Jones. Look at Star Wars, the Hidden Masons. They worship a hidden entity called Yoda. Yoda from Star Wars. Remember the Force, Luke, remember the Force. But remember the Force, Earthman, you have the Force. And the only way that you can fight this Novus Ordo Seclorum is through education. Now they have you beefing amongst each other. You're white, he's black, he's red, he's brown. I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm Jew. You are a fool, Earthman. They have violated all the intergalactic codes of the funk. Now, like a rubber band, once you pull back, and it shall snap back. This world is headed for destruction, has been prophesied by all the prophets of the Torah, the Bible, the Injil, the most glorious Quran. I see that we have one that is amongst you, came from off the depths of the funk, Africa Bambaataa.
I'd say that Africa Bambaataa just summed up basically the entire point of tonight's and this entire month's Save Your Generation, but I didn't really realize that that's where I was going and leading with this until after it was already done. Here we are, February 28th, last day of Black History Month. So why did I make this huge point, a huge deal to do all of these shows this month? Well, because did you hear about Black History? Now let's be honest, on any mainstream or independent alternative, did you hear any Black History throughout this month on anywhere besides on Save Your Generation? And think about how many times you did, alright? Can you count them on one hand? Can you count them on two? Did you hear it all the time? Maybe it's just me. Maybe only I don't hear it and other people do hear it. And then you think about Valentine's Day. Did you hear something on Valentine's Day? Yes, I heard lots on Valentine's Day. Did you hear something on President's Day? I heard more than lots on President's Day. Did you even hear something on the day the music died? For those of you who don't know, that's February 3rd, when the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly were all killed in a plane crash. Now, I could get into crazy conspiracy theories with this one, but I'd say that also was a psyop. Now, I know that in those days they did not have the best technology in airplanes and planes were going down all the time, but I do think that they have special, maybe a little bit better for people who are, quote, celebrities or entertainers. I know that they do get special treatments, so I would assume that they would have, I mean, you can't always count on the weather, so maybe it was just a freak accident, and maybe this is just a crazy conspiracy, but I've heard that, you know, maybe that was too, because they know that the death of celebrities does shock more than just the death of a couple of innocent people. If it's a celebrity, that will more, you'll be able to mold your sheep because of this tragedy. And that's exactly what happened during the Biggie and Tupac, that's what happened with Kurt, and that's what happened anytime. It's happening now again with Anna Nicole Smith. Do you see the media? Do you see the way that this is? Go to freemantv.com and read what he has to say about Anna Nicole Smith and Britney Spears. That's if you're ready for some open-minded stuff. It's absolutely, Freeman does great stuff. Total Info does absolutely great stuff. If you happen to catch that show last night, if you were listening to Revere, he is going live. Everybody on Revere is going live, and it's, man, I feel like I'm missing out, and I'm probably going to have to change that soon because it's too much fun. I want to get some calls. I want people to call in and let me know what they think about the stuff that I'm saying, because I would like some feedback on it, because these are just theories that are coming up with through observation. You know, you take in all this information, you feel like you have a good grasp on everything, and then from there, what you would do is just use that information to perceive things around you. And with this perception, this heightened perception that you get from learning all this stuff, you start to see everything for what it truly is. This is what the Matrix is talking about. When you stop seeing the things the way it isn't and start seeing, you know, the code behind it and see what really is going on, you know, it's just so easy now. I don't even try to, I just see it and I can easily perceive what is really taking place in these situations. It's a great tool to have. And I wanted to say something else about that site. Go to total411.info or total911.info and check out the great stuff on those sites. That's what I wanted to say. Black History Month. The reason Afrika Bambaataa said that what they want to do is separate us. White versus black versus Mexican versus everything, because that's how they win, is if we are separate. That's divide and conquer is not something new. But I think Black History Month, the real reason, the true reason that this is you can't call it a holiday because it's a month, but whatever this is, whatever, I don't know why it is, I don't know why it exists, but my theory is that it's only there in order to further the divide, to make it so that we see things as black and white, and not just as we're all here as Americans, as people, as whatever race you are, we're all here together as human beings. We're human beings, not even as Americans. I don't know why I would say that, because we're not here as Americans, we're here as human beings, we're here as citizens of Earth. So by making this Black History Month this false celebration that no one, if it is a celebration, then why didn't anyone celebrate it? Why didn't you hear it all? Why weren't you just crammed full of just pouring out knowledge like, oh, that's Harriet Tubman, like all types of bullcrap that they do? Because no one really celebrates it. No one really cares. It's only to make that divide. That's the only reason why. And the reason why they do it in February is because they don't really want to give an entire month. For real, think about it. What is it only? It's not a coincidence, and it's the only logical explanation, if you ask me. Because no one is really observing in like a truthful matter, a truthful way. I guarantee that this entire month, the most stuff that you heard about Black History was on Save Your Generation, out of anywhere. I'm talking Fox, CNN, any of those networks. I bet none of them could hold a candle to what you learned on Save Your Generation this month. And that was the point of me doing all these shows and trying to get you this information, because I know that it's all a scam. It's a farce. They don't really want you to know the real, true Black history. They want to just make the divide more known. They want it to be more of a separation between black and white. Oh, Black history, what does that mean? Bunch of niggas out holding signs? What? Huh? So, that's all. That's the reason. That's the reason for the season, and that's the truth. But let's listen to more songs, because that is something that is undeniable, an undeniable contribution to, no matter what anybody wants to say or admit to, the most racist dude in the world listens to music, and any music he's listening to was probably, if it's an American music, was made by black people, period.
I don't want anything to do with anything black for at least a week.
Thanks for listening to Save Your Generation on ReveerRadio.net. Please visit ReveerRadio.net and give a donation, because we need it.
Run! You're out of cold whack, you get the crowd going on. You're the kind of guy but I love that.
Bush or nobody else in power. I have to stand up or die. Because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's what's behind us that brought us to where we are. And it's in what's in front of us that is a part of us.
You are listening to Save Your Generation.
You are listening to Save Your Generation on ReverRadio.net. Biatch.
I just want to thank you all again for tuning in to Save Your Generation tonight. I think I've said all I really wanted to say about the whole Black History. I hope you like the whole Black History Month presentation that I set up for you. I hope you enjoyed the Malcolm X assassination Masonic explanation, and I hope that you enjoy all of that you hear on Revere Radio, and that's why you go to revereradio.net and give a donation even of $1. Because that $1 helps Revere stay on the air, and it helps people like me to who have this alternative information and different ideas and different things that you might not hear anywhere else, only on Revere where you hear these. So that's why you need to keep ReverRadio.net going by giving a donation. And stay tuned, because at 9 o'clock, you have Rob Revere Live, which is in about 20 minutes. I think I'm just going to play you guys some music until then, because really, I really don't want to deal with anything black for at least a month, because I really overdid it, I know. But learning all this stuff, you really see that it's totally connected. All of it is... nothing happens in this country or in this world without that hidden hand having something to do with it. And why do you think they do these things? For what purpose? Because I think it fuels their agenda. They only let these things happen in order to get their agenda passed. They only let this secret footage and things, not even secret footage, but this footage that gets, that could be grassroots. That's all. That's possible to be grassroots. Because there was a grassroots black movement also. Like Marcus Garvey, even though I have my ideas about him now and being a Mason and whatever, I think that there was a true grassroots black revolutionary movement. And that's what they were afraid of. So they thought that they needed to take the forefront of it by getting Marcus Garvey to be the spokesperson. Just like how they got Martin Luther King, and they backed him because he was... It's all connected. All of it. Every single thing. And you don't think that it is, but then as soon as you start digging deeper that rabbit hole, you fall through, and all of it starts to make sense. But Black History Month as a whole, aside from all of the people and actually going to research and finding out about black people, Black History Month is a scam. It's just like Christmas and all the other holidays that are made only to either, one, make you consume, or two, to give a false image of something. For example, Christmas gives a false image of the Messiah, who they call Jesus Christ, gives a false image. Christmas, it has nothing to do with it. If you go back in the archives, you'll hear all my talk about Saturnalia and Christmas and winter solstice and all of the other pagan occultic things that it has to tie into. And they only have it, they call it Christmas, and they make it seem like it's something else, but it's really a slap in the face. And that's what Black History Month is. It's a slap in the face because no one truly cares to learn about these black people and what happened. And they know that, so they just kind of like throw it in the face. They don't have a White History Month because they know that no one really cares about learning the history of anything, white, black, or any other color. No one cares about history, but they make it a point to really laugh it up about this. You know, it's kind of like people say they want to... I saw something on Yahoo the other day, which was a joke. I screen captured it. I'm going to have to post it somewhere. Yahoo, it said, you know, ways that... How can we end homelessness? And then right below it was $71,000 gift bags at the Oscars or whatever stupid event it was. And it was like, what a joke. Okay, there's a way to end the homeless. Take that $71,000 gift bags and bring and go feed some homeless people. It's such a joke because they really don't really care and they don't really want to do this. No one really cares about the homeless. No, that's not true. I do care about, also, Rob Revere cares about the homeless. He does some incredible stuff. That dude, he really has, I give him a lot of props. He gets a lot of respect from me because of the stuff that he does, not only for Revere and being a father and taking care of business in all ways, but the stuff he does for the homeless is outstanding. And that's something that truly hits home to me. Personal reasons. Nah, you know, I'll say it, whatever. It's nothing. People are homeless. I've been homeless. I'm sure people on Revere, besides myself, have been homeless at some point. And, you know, it's not an easy or fun thing to have to live through or deal with, but you do, and without the help of others, you never get through it. And people like Rob Revere, he's helping these people, or these people do not get through it. And that, to me, really finds a place in my heart. Rob Revere, to me, is the man. I don't do enough for homeless people. I do my share, and I hope you all out there, people, I know you got nice clothes, go out there and give all your old stuff to people, and you think that they don't appreciate it, but trust me, from someone who knows them personally, it is appreciated big time. So, all right, let me play you out with some songs right now. I really hope all of you stay tuned for the Rob Revere Show coming on at 9 live. And I'm going to play you some good tracks until then. So please enjoy these. And I know you will. And have a good... Wait. Happy Black History Month from my co-host. But you know what that's up with that. This was Save Your Generation. Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Followed by the Rob Revere Show live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone, revereradio.net, tiredofbeingalive.com. Go to phalon.com, one of our sponsors. That is phalon.com. Help out there. You guys are the best.
If the majority of people remain stupid and ignorant and non-caring, then they can participate, help out the culture, and not even know they're doing it. But that's me. It's real, but that's not me to say, but it's real. The real problem, I think, is those who do know and don't participate. It's these conscious cats that may put out a conscious record, but it's not necessarily a conscious person, right? When you go back to participation, what does it really mean to participate in that? And say, you know, really, what does it mean to participate in anything if you're unconscious of your participation, right?
Well, if you're conscious of a situation, then it's realistic to know that you might be dealing someday with a collision or turbulence.
At some point.
Because if you're unconscious about anything, then all of a sudden you envision an easy road, or you might have seen the easy road,
right,
and you're going to say, well, I'm going to take the most comfortable route, because why should I have to deal with any friction?
Right. Yeah.
The wall is damn near what it's all about. It's about breaking down the wall.
With awareness.
Yeah, with awareness.
Awareness breaks down the wall, because what builds up the wall is ignorance.
Right.
Less than 10% of the United States population has passed through us. That is what closes this thing.
Tonight, let us be one in the future. Power to all of the people.
Ah! Yeah, KRS-One, Brother J. History, y'all. Turn it up. Ha ha. You know what time this is. We gotta.
Uptown, downtown, midtown, get them all. Freedom, I manifest culture, come pick it up. Worldwide DJ, conscious ambassador.
Yeah. KRS, Brother J, what you say?
A new day, a new way for the DJ to spin it up. Rap in the struggle train, let's break loose and live it up. Worldwide DJ, Brother J, mash it up.
Brother J, speak the truth.
I'm coming forth by the daylight, my timing's impeccable. Five senses clean, I'm guarding truth like the sentinel. Battlefield born, I'm a four-star general. Teaching hip-hop is about these vitamins and minerals. I'm sent in the image of the Most High. Wisdom will unify, freedom we do or die. The solution I envision through my third eye. Body, mind, spiritual, manifest.
Multiply.
The open-eyed rebel, several levels peripheral. Overseeing the battle of knowledge versus material. Inferior minds, they trick knowledge like cereal. Genocide of pleasures, slackers of life principles. Prisons of the flesh live in triple stage darkness. Ignorance tradition will turn soldiers to caucus. Time for the heartless to ride out the bench. I'm a player, coach, boys, and underground trench.
News on.
Town, downtown, midtown, get them all. Freedom, I manifest culture, come pick it up. Worldwide DJ, conscious ambassador.
KRS, Brother J, what you say?
A new day, a new way for the DJ to spin it up. Wrapped in the struggle chain, let's break loose and live it up. Worldwide DJ, KRS, mash it up.
I'm not a pacifist, I'll kick your ass in this. If you ain't ready for the truth, stop asking Chris. There's no revolution without revelation. And I realize these cats don't wanna fix their situation. Then I realize a little late with it, but that revolution only works for those that participate in it. We have it armed for scissors, summits, and cats keep faking it. Meditating, praying, and assalamu alaikum in it. But the racist foundation ain't shaking it, cause the faith initiative money they taking it. So now the feds got your mouth all sewn up. The Pentagon hit, you say our house blown up. Arnold Schwarzenegger, a foreigner, kills the founder of the Crips. The president with black leadership. We need to raise up our readership so our children can grow up and freely lead without reading a script.
Uptown, downtown, midtown, get them all. Freedom, I manifest culture, come pick it up. Worldwide DJ, conscious ambassador.
KRS, Brother J, what you say?
A new day, a new way for the DJ to spin it up. Wrapped in the struggle chain, let's break loose and live it up. Worldwide DJ, Brother J, mash it up.
Brother J, speak the truth.
Though I am that I am in this illusional land of liberty and justice, and my beast a man. Though my blood flows deeper than the oil of Iran, so many folks still in denial of my permanent tan. Was I stained by Sam when homie said he's my man? When he needed more of science to assemble his land? From Big Ben to Pentagon to the White House lawn, my work tab is deep, let reparations be born. 40 acres and a mule, I want a gun and a horse. Watch me ride like Rosewood while I assemble the force. So many people are lost, going back to the source. Willie Lynch is just a worker where Yaku is the boss. Navigate a better course than the one that we choose. Hip-hop is dumbing out from MCs to pop news. His plan is the original, we earn through dues. Always freedom or death until we vanquish these fools. Uptown, downtown, midtown, get them all. Freedom, I manifest culture, come pick it up. Worldwide DJ, conscious ambassador.
KRS, Brother J, what you say?
A new day, a new way for the DJ to spin it up. Wrapped in the struggle chain, let's break loose. So live it up. Worldwide DJ, play your rest. Watch it,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Look. Higher sciences, a lyrical archdiocese. I teach and preach what self-reliance is. I don't care about them critics and their biases. I am hip-hop, I don't depend on appliances. Meaning that when I'm speaking my rap, I don't need any technology to produce it. In fact, I can't wait for you and me to build so I can really explain hip-hop as the last of the human skills. Hip-hop, I'm being it, cause I'm freeing it. But them civil rights leaders ain't seeing it. They don't agree with it, they wanna be equal with the white, but I don't believe the hype. I wanna be equal with the light. And if I need to, I'll fight in this beat. Cause good police work depends on the lights of a snitch. Now let's switch, now let's switch, now let's switch. Three times I change things like the Matrix done glitched. Go on, chase them chicks and get paid. But chicks are really chickens and you the turkey that's still afraid. Yo, you minute man, you gone tomorrow. Victory over the streets, that's our motto. Whoa! Rock, 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 rock
you boys come a long way, but something you might not know. Down here in Mississippi, there's evil. The blues devil live down here. If you want to be a real blood man, you gotta sell your soul to the devil.
Come on down, I ain't gonna be worried no more. You know I worried last night all night before. You know, Bob, that I won't be worried no more. Come on down, I ain't gonna be worried no more. Come on down, I ain't gonna be worried no more.
Now, I love America, man, I must say. I love America. I got to say, America is the greatest country in the world, okay? It's the greatest country in the world. In the whole world, it's the best place. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be from. And we are all lucky to be here. Everybody in this room, lucky to be here. Even black people, lucky to be here. But if you black, you gotta look at America a little different. If you black, America's like the uncle that paid your way through college, but molested you. Oh, you gotta forgive, right? You gotta forgive. What's the biggest issue in America right now? The most divisive issue in America right now is affirmative action. Now, a lot of people think affirmative action got a lot to do with the 60s and the back of the bus and separate lunch counters. No, 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 no. When you see footage of the 60s and see black people, see us getting sprayed down and hosed down and dogs getting sicked on us and little girls getting burnt up in churches, that's just white people being nice. Nicer than they was in the 50s, 40s, and 30s. Shit, this black people that died in the 30s, that was looking down from heaven in the 60s going, man, them niggas got it good. No, no, no. Affirmative action was put into place to offset policies that the United States government implemented during slavery that affect us today. Now, when I talk about slavery, no, no, no. When I talk about slavery, I'm just talking about a period of time where black people had no rights. So you talk about the 1600s to about 1964. You know, give or take a year, depending on when your town decided to act right. Now, people go, well, what happened during slavery that could affect us today? What happened during slavery that could affect us today? A lot of shit happened during slavery that affects us every day. For instance, during slavery, they used to take the biggest, strongest slaves and breed them and try their best to make big, strong, super slaves, okay? That's right. That's right. And there's evidence of that today, like the NFL, for instance. So NFL stands for nigga fucking large. They bred the slaves, and this is why black people dominate every physical activity in the United States of America, okay? We're only 10% of the population, we're 90% of the final four, okay? We fucking dominate all this shit, okay? Basketball, baseball, football, boxing, track, even golf and tennis. As soon as they make a heated hockey rink, we're gonna take that shit to them. Motherfuck Wayne Gretzky. Wait till you see LeBron on some skates. You ain't seen shit yet. He just gonna have one skate chilling. What's up? He ain't even gonna have a stick. He gonna smack the puck with his dick. Pow! Slap shot, bitch! So that's what they did to the big, strong slaves. And you know what they did to these smart ones? Or at least the ones they thought were smart? They killed them. That's what they did. That's right. That was the policy of the United States government, to kill smart black people. That's right. So the real smart motherfuckers had to hide the fact that they were smart, okay? The law of the land was, if you read, you die. If you read, you fucking die, okay? So you know what that means? The first black drug dealers didn't even sell drugs. They sold books. Yo, man, I got 2 pages, man. I got 2 pages, man. Check it out, man. Check it out, man. I got 2 pages, man. Yo, man, I got a word. I got a word. Check it out, man. I got a new word, man. I got a new word, man. It's new, man. It's new, man. So think about the poor slaves that could read but had to hide it, man. Think about the poor slaves that could read but were scared to teach their kids to read but fear they'd be killing their kids, man. Think about the poor slave that used to drive the buggy in the town every day, man. Just to drive the buggy, man. He's driving the buggy, driving the buggy, driving the buggy. He's driving the buggy, driving the buggy, driving the buggy. And he can read, he's driving the buggy, driving the buggy, driving the buggy. And up ahead he sees a real busy intersection. He's driving the buggy, 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 driving the buggy. And then he sees a stop sign. Now he's got a real dilemma. Oh, Lord. What is I gonna do? Oh, Lord, what is I going to do? Okay, if I go across this intersection, I'm going to have an accident. If I stop at this sign, these crackers will kill me. Oh, Lord, what is I going to do? And he don't know. And he's riding the buggy. And he's riding the buggy. And at the last minute, he says, fuck it. And he goes straight through the intersection. Has a big old accident. Wipes out. Wipes out, almost killed somebody, and the police come. Then, nigga, what's wrong with you? Nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you? You could have killed somebody, nigga. You see that stop sign?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Nigga, you see that stop sign? That stop sign right there?
Oh, do you mean that octagon thing?
Nigga, who taught you octagon? Don't get me wrong with affirmative action. Don't get me wrong, man. I don't think I should get a job over a white person if I get a lower mark in a test. I don't think I should get accepted into a school over a white person if I get a lower mark in a test. But if there's a tie, fuck them. Shit, you had a 400-year head start, motherfucker. White man, you're going to be all right. You know, a lot of people say this shit too. If you're the smartest and the brightest, you won't need affirmative action. We'll be able to get rid of affirmative action altogether if you just strive to be the smartest and the brightest. They say that as if the whole country is run by the smartest and the brightest. Now, I was in black schools and white schools, so you can't fucking tell me shit, okay? Now, when you go to a class, there are 30 kids in a class. 5 smart, 5 dumb, and the rest, they're in the middle. And that's all America is. A nation in the middle. A nation of B and C students. That's all the fuck it is. A nation of B and C students. But let's keep it fucking real, okay? A black C student can't run no fucking company. A black C student can't even be the manager of Burger King. Meanwhile, a white C student just happens to be the president of the United States of America.
Produced by Martin Hannett, take 4.
But they don't really like to come, but they say it's for yourself. They have no reason to have a job that lives inside your head.
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off!
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off! If you're not quite get out of here, you ain't no better than the monsters. We ain't trying to be police, we ain't the cops, it ain't anarchy.
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off!
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off! What a man! They fight each other, the police they win. Stab your backs and trash your homes. Trash your bank if you got real balls. There's nothing good to go for school. Realize these when you're school. That comes in place with men and cops. Get a real boy, drink it in the first to go.
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off!
That's fun, that's fun, that's fun.
Fuck off! You've been the first to go, you've been the first to go, you've been the first to go. What lets you think?
Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Save Your Generation broadcast, or if you're just sick of all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com.
I'm doomed.